Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As always, we've got lovely ladies scooting up to the table. We have my co-host, my lovely co-host, Amy Frost. She is my sister. And there she is. And lovely Gloria is joining us tonight, too. Hey, Gloria.
Good evening.
Good evening. So glad for you to join us. So tonight we're going to be doing a part two on Chapter 7 of Presence. And one of the reasons we're going to be doing that is, gosh, there's just so much. This whole book has just got so much great information. But this one, this chapter in particular, is just got so much information that really helps people who are dealing with PSD, with just looking at it from a place of the body wisdom, looking from the body and then moving into the mind. And, I mean, there's been so much out there that's really been moving in the other direction for just so long, but which is so curious because if you look at the research, this stuff's been going on for 30 years. So we definitely have new mindsets that are finally being accepted out in the just in the psychological and even in the physiological platforms that are out there for different people. So I just really want to kind of jump in this real quick. So I have a little bit of housekeeping. I want to tell everybody about two or three episodes ago, I was talking about Mark Nepo, and he's a marvelous gentleman that I've met. If you go to Super Soul Sundays, Oprah's had Mark on quite a few times. And he's just such a magnificent poet and teacher and writer. Last year I had the privilege of going to one of his intimate workshops that he has. He's going to be having one at the Pine Manor. And if you go to pinemanor.com, you can go ahead and look at that. There's going to be a special event with that. I'm going to be attending that. And we'll be doing a special interview with Mark while we're there. And everybody hopefully can be there to be able to part of the Q&A and stuff like that. We'll hopefully be able to put that out on the transformationcafe.com. And if anybody's wanting to join with that, we're going to have special segments throughout that weekend. It's going to be April 1st through the 3rd. And I'm going to be there, like I said, and when we do our breakout sessions after Mark's basically had his time with us, we're going to do some just sharing one-on-one. You'll be able to meet me and spend some time with me. And we're going to hopefully have a couple of our diners joining us as well. Dr. Kim and I are talking about being able to go there and join that. We might have a couple other people showing up. So, again, if you go to pinemanor.com, give you an opportunity to go ahead and look at that event. And if you have any questions for me, you can go ahead and at the end of the show be able to add into the forum and be able to ask questions about that too. So it's something that I think is just going to be a really wonderful event. So just want to put that out there at the beginning of the show for anybody who might be interested in that and just get it going. So that would be really great. So I might be able to talk Amy into it too. We'll see if we can talk her into it. So what do you think, Amy? I'm going to like put you on the spot right here, right now.
Well, I might be in a call in, but I'm going to be retreating to Sedona that next week. So I think I will be there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on there. So if you go to our last episode, which is 292, we were talking, we had a special diner, Mr. Andrew Misevich, our producer, was on our show. And Andy just did a really great job talking about one of the really wonderful aspects of this chapter. It says, "I'm happy because I sing." And if you go to that chapter, it's on page 174 of, again, Presence by Amy Cuddy. And it's really cool because it talks about the whole idea that when it comes to being happy, it says, "I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing." So this whole chapter is really, again, talking about the body-mind connection and coming place of I do actions, in a very mindful way, and my emotions follow that. So it started with the father of psychology for America, which was William James, and went on there. So if you go to our first segment of this part one, Andy did a great job. If you look at the different stuff. It's real fun. We've got a couple of cartoon pictures of a guy and a girl on there, and they're singing, which looks really cute, with their happy hands. We've got jazz hands going on there. Because like, imagine if you did jazz hands, and you're trying to smile, and you're singing a sad song. I don't think you can do it. Something that Andy put out there from the last episode. So maybe that's a challenge for everybody, you know, exercise. Were you able to do that? So I don't think you can, though, but it's just really interesting with that. So, Amy, what do you think of that? You know, I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing.
I really think that's true. You know, I work with people that are in, you know, in stress in many ways and unhappy in many ways. A lot of times when I'm called in to do workshops, you know, through different agencies, people are not happy. But what I found is, you know, something as simple as playing, you know, the song "Happy" by what's his name? You know, Happy. Are you with me? What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, oh, the people.
I'm trying to think of it now. Too.
Start
blocking me.
They happy. That's right. They start tapping their feet and they start moving, and you know, and in spite of themselves, they start smiling. And mm-hmm. I really think that's true, that certainly their music is a part of that, that movement is a part of that. And it's kind of like your system takes over and it allows you to, you know, that happiness to come forward, which I like. The, you know, the whole premise here is that, you know, instead of what we traditionally think, I'm happy, so I sing, the opposite is true. I don't know that it's one or the other. I think they both feed on each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and what I think is really interesting about James, you know, with this whole thing, is he came up with these ideas in the late 1800s, in 1884. He was writing about this stuff. And, you know, here, you know, gosh, 2016, and we're talking about like, oh, wow, this is new stuff. So I just think that's really interesting that, you know, it's come full circle with having everything in there. It's like, I'm just, part of me just goes, imagine if back in the late 1800s, people really embraced this information. Where would we be now when it comes to just our culture and having just people being healed and coming from just a really different perspective? But, you know, we are where we are. And, you know, if you go back to page 177, he talks about the different, actually, I'm sorry, it's 176. He talks about the two different kinds of ways that they've been doing therapy for people when it comes to trauma. And the first one has to do with just reviewing the trauma, and they call that traditional psychotherapy, where you actually would go ahead and review it and be talking about it. And what they found just through all this different research that we're going to get really into tonight is that it's more about being able to reset your body and moving into a place where just doing it different kinds of simple exercises, things like that. You know, part of it is the yoga. Part of it is just movement in lots of different ways. And there's other things that we're going to talk about tonight, too, that are really helped that. But one of the forerunners for that was Dr. Vander Kolk. I think it's K-O-L-K was the last name on him. And he's written a really wonderful book. It was in 2014. It's called The Body Keeps Score. And I've actually, if you go on YouTube, I'll have Andy go ahead and add a couple links to some of his lectures that you've got. But what's really amazing is everybody that has talked about this book said, I read this book and it was so basic that I finally realized what was really going on with myself or another person who has been going through trauma. So it's one of those books that really just helps everybody to really just come from just the big aha of this different kinds of stuff. And when you go to later on in the book, in this chapter, Amy Cuddy talks about the experience that Dr. Vander Kolk had where he had gone to Africa. He had gone to Johannesburg and seen these women that were survivors of just really horrific rape. And they were all sitting around together, and this is really how he got started with the whole movement, you know, the concept of movement and rhythm that could really be changing. He said they were sitting there, and he said one woman started to hum while gently swaying back and forth. Slowly, the rhythm emerged, bit by bit. The other women joined in. Soon, the whole group was singing, moving, and getting up to dance. It was an astonishing transformation. People coming back to life, facing faces becoming attuned, vitality returning to the bodies. I made a vow to apply what I was seeing there and to study how rhythm, chanting, and movement can help people to heal from trauma. So this is right along, like I said, with the body mind stuff that we've had going on with that stuff. So Amy, have you had, how long have you been familiar with this stuff, and how have you been able to help some of the people that you counsel with this whole perspective?
Well, I'm really honored to have been able to see this fella in person. I belong to the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychologists, and they have an annual conference, and I got to experience him there, and that was really amazing to hear him talk. And then through working with energy psychology and positive psychology and all this great stuff, with a lot of the research, you know, shows that when you just do talk therapy, what ends up happening is you re-injure the person. They start talking about these traumatic events, and then the signals, the body signals start again, and the chemicals start again, and it just creates re-traumatizing them. So what they find by not talking about it, by doing energy exercises, like dancing and laughing, laughter, yoga, art, all those kinds of heal at that's a deeper level that goes way beyond what can happen with talk. So one experience I want to share really quickly is that, and you and I had talked about this before, how when things start feeling really heavy, one thing that I do, anybody that I'm working with, whether it's individually or a group, is I immediately teach them, and we've played with this before, how do you do the heart breath. And that comes from HeartMath, heartmath.org. And let's just do that really quickly. Let's give everybody an experience of that if you haven't had that. So first off, when you want to take a nice deep breath, you can't do it wrong. You fill up your stomach, you fill up your chest, your body just starts kind of rising, and then you hold it. Then now you're a little bit clearer, you got some more room. So what you want to do now is then you want to take in a nice deep breath, filling up the abdomen, filling up the chest, fill it in a little sip. And then you release. Now, the third breath, let's make this a little bit different. Now, they call this the heart breath. What you do, you imagine in your mind's eye something that brings you great peace. Right now, I'm imagining my toes on the beach. I can smell the ocean. I can hear the waves. I feel the sun on me. And so as I'm breathing in, I'm going to breathe in that image of me being on the beach. So then on this next breath, I want you to imagine something that brings you great joy or peace. And you're going to breathe that into your heart. So now breathe that image into your heart. Allow it to fill your entire body, every cell. Hold with it a second and release. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and what's cool about that is that we had mentioned last episode that this kind of practice, they had different vets that they went ahead and did these experiments on, where they had, had a group of guys that were basically just talking about stuff every day, and then they had guys that were doing yoga, breath exercises, visualization every day, and they did it for, I think it was a month. They went ahead and did it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
What was really great is that they both groups wound up having benefit from it, but the guys who went ahead into the yoga treatment, they were finding that it was more long-lasting, and that when it came to them being able to just be benefiting from that, boy, did it make such a difference for them. One of the comments that we have from the other show, Andy did a great job putting that on our last page with the transformation-cafe.com, is a father had commented on, wow, I've got my son back. And boy, I mean, to have that kind of a compliment on something like that, where having everything shift that much, it's just being willing to sit and practice and be doing that, it's just really, really a wonderful thing. So if you go to page 185, it starts getting into part of that practice, because usually with yoga, there's always going to be a breath element to where you're focusing on your breath and then moving the body, and having the breathing is something that goes along with the stretching and exercising that the yoga creates. And that's, we really want to get in. I wanted to get into the breath about that. So it talks about, you know, being able to sit comfortably, taking deep breaths, which naturally expand the chest. And Amy Cuddy talks about that. You know, when you put your shoulders back and you have your chest out, and maybe put your arms extended, that's a way of having a power pose. And here you're doing it in yoga, just in the natural way, because you're allowing your body to open to be able to take a deep breath. So it's just part of those, it's just basic practices that are happening. And so the group practiced it with that yoga called a victory breath, which what they do when it comes to a deep state of rest. So just like Amy was just saying, you know, with this taking a deep breath in, being able to hold that for a second, being able to let that go, it's a trigger that automatically the body wants to go ahead and relax and really help help it to come from just a new place. She said, understanding that you can control your breath is the first step in understanding how you can control your anxiety, that you have the tools to do it for yourself. When your mind is racing, when something unexpected happens in a social situation, you don't know what to do. You know that you can calm yourself by controlling your breath and its effectiveness when it comes to just anybody having to deal with any kind of anxiety or post-traumatic syndrome, you know, stress situations that they can have. I want to remind everybody we've got an episode of TC 268, which was about sensitive people that we'd done last year. And it was a really great conversation that we had for just so many people are really just understanding that they're just wired more on a sensitive level when it comes to sound, even just to energy. So this is another way of using the breath and really coming from a place of just recognizing these. There could be aspects of yourself that you might want to label anxiety, but it's just the fact that you're more sensitive to different kinds of, whether it's light or sound or anything like that. So, again, with Amy, has there been episodes of or just situations with people where you found that you've had groups or people that have had that as something that the breath can really help people to connect for themselves?
Oh, my goodness, all the time. And when I'm working with a group and it's getting particularly conflicted, what I train them to do, I get them to notice their own stress points, and I have Tibetan bells. And I teach them that every time I ring those bells, they take a nice deep breath. And when I feel the room getting stressful, I hit the bells and they automatically breathe. I don't need to tell them at a certain point. And everything shifts in the room. And I wanted to come back to the post-traumatic stress and the study, you know, with veterans, and then to really explain the effect and what I have seen. We're going to be working with a group of veterans through the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology and Life After Active Duty with a study group with veterans here in Vegas. And we're going to be teaching them thought field therapy, which is a whole, you know, that's a whole other show by itself. And but on page 186, we talk about, you know, working with veterans and teaching them yoga, which, again, it really doesn't matter what the technique is, but it's about getting them into their body and out of their heads and really, you know, allowing the healing to happen. And she talks about one participant wrote to her, I remember everything that happened about the traumatic experience, but it no longer has a hold on me. And another simply said, thanks for giving my life back. And I think that's a very common reaction when people, very simple techniques, even, you know, the breathing, thought field therapy, all these amazing techniques that really help you and that creates a new set point. You know, when you start doing that, then it gets you back to this is the present moment and what's real. And I want to go to page 188 to kind of show the flip side. We talked about that study they talked about with women who had been had trauma from Johannesburg that you had talked about a little bit earlier, and part of the group did not get yoga. So you had the treatment group that did, and then the other group that didn't. And it said the post-treatment evaluations revealed that unlike the patients in the yoga group, the women who received traditional treatment later lapsed, showing the same post-traumatic stress symptoms they had pre-treatment. For those in the yoga group, the effects stuck. That's what I see over and over and over again.
Yeah, one thing that they go on to talk about with that is the tools we need to become present are built into our biology. One of them is an action so basic we usually forget we're doing it, and it's just the breath. I thought that was a great statement to just realize that, you know, people are like, oh, I've got to learn this or I've got to learn that. Well, sometimes it's just getting, you know, in touch with ourselves and just allowing ourselves just to take some nice deep breaths. And looks like Amy had that wonderful exercise that we've already done. So one of the things they talk about is what we're going to do is one thing I wanted to make sure that we had in this episode was talking about the joy breath. But Amy Cuddy goes on to say, here's the good news. We actually have some control over our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. And recalling that the vagus nerve, which is the vagus, is the cranial nerve that carries our sensory information between the brainstem and the many other vital organs, including the heart and lungs. And when the vagus nerve is doing its job, the heart slows down and the lungs breathe more deeply, promoting a state of calm. So in those situations when the body has acute stress and reacts to the sympathetic nervous system, that the vagus nerve will go ahead and take over and be able to calm the body down. So it's our thank goodness we've got all these systems that are really helping us to be able to lock in stuff and be able to, like I said, come from just being very conscious of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I always loved, and before I've learned it this way, where it's like, do I want to be in a reactive place, or do I want to be in a place where I can respond? And responding, it's be able to catch myself, see what's going on with all these things, and then having it be something where I can be in a mindful place of doing my own self-maintenance for myself. So anything coming up for you, Gloria, as we're talking about this stuff? I guess we lost her. So Gloria's really done a lot of work with the breath and working with yoga and things like that with the body-mind connection. So I guess we, you know, she dropped off the call. So again,
she's
having that.
She's off breathing.
She's just breathing. Yeah, exactly. She is breathing. Yeah, but you know, on the end of this chapter, it goes into the whole thing about just being able to use that breath. And having it be where it was really cool. They did this experiment where they said, it, you know, being able to create emotion by changing how you breathe. And, you know, they're saying, yeah, this sounds pretty weird, but it actually can do that. So they had a control group where they described the breathing method to a group of subjects. And they were just saying, you know, how would you breathe if you were coming from a place of joy? And so they went ahead and, you know, they did the breath. And what was really cool is that they brought in another group. And the first group taught them how they did the breath without really knowing what was going to be coming out from the emotions. And so they said, you know, guess what happened with the outcome? The second group unknowingly followed the instructions for the joy breathing, and they felt joy. It was just, you know, workful. And this is the same thing, you know, we talked about face and everything else with this last episode within this chapter is, you know, when you take a facial expression, whether it's a joyful one or a sorrow, you know, a tense, you know, with your eyebrows, you know, furrowed or angry or whatever, the body's going to follow those different gestures that you're suggesting to yourself. So this is such a powerful thing to be able to do that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, this joy breath and how it, in just like anything, when it comes to these things that are just so profound, they're usually just so simple. And when it comes to these different things, so it's just that, you know, it's just Amy says, by the way, if you want to feel a little burst of joy right now, here's how to breathe. The breathing instructions for the when they gave the second group of subjects to receive, it said, let's breathe deeply and exhale slowly and deeply through our nose, and in breathing very regularly into her rib cage and relax, just like Amy was describing. So it's that deep breath in, allowing your body to really take a lot of oxygen, pausing for a second. And I think what's really important is just that slow exhale out, because it automatically is giving you, you know, you're giving yourself the instruction and the permission to slow yourself down and come from a place of ease within your breath and ease within your body and helping. And, you know, they found just with that breath, it reduced stress hormones, and they said it lowers the risk of heart disease, infection, cancer-causing elements to the body. And it's just that breath, being able to be mindful with that and knowing that that's something that's really significant with that. So, you know, here we've been talking about, you know, taking power poses and working from all different directions with that. But it's really true when it comes to just like, you know, being very mindful with your breath. And again, we've had episodes in the past that we've talked about that as well and had that with the whole idea of the body-mind connection. So Amy says, the verdict is in. William James was right. Our bodies speak to us. They tell us how and what to feel and even think. They change what goes on inside our endocrine system, our automatic nerve system, our brain and our minds without our being conscious of a thing. How you carry yourself, your facial expressions, your posture, your breathing, all clearly affect the way you think, feel, and behave. Eva Fairbanks, and remember she was the one at the beginning, this last episode, that had talked about surfing and how she learned to be able to stay on the board and have it to where it's a matter of determination of like, I'm staying on the board and learning how to be able to have that be different ways that I show my life. So Eva Fairbanks, who learned to make decisions on the board in the boardroom by standing on her surfboard, may not have been thinking of yoga or William James as she did so, but she knew she was on to something. How many other kinds of actions, she wondered, might transform our way of thinking? And boy, this has just been such a great, great book and great chapter talking about just all the different things that we can do and just so many positive ways of being able to actually, you know, change ourselves, change the way that we are from, you know, standing like superwoman and going into just being able to smile and having that be powerful and being able to have a joyful breath. So, Amy, what's your thoughts on any of that?
Well, I'm jumping back to the beginning of the chapter, 172, where they talk about Eve learning, practicing on the board with her instructor. And she talks about at a certain point, the instructor changed her approach. She said, after a mixed record of successes and failures, my teacher told me at some point I just had to decide to stay on the board. And I think that's it. Once you decide, I am going to learn this, I am going to be happy, whatever that tipping point is, then you allow yourself the permission, all right, I'm going to start taking actions. I'm going to start, like, smiling or standing in certain positions or doing whatever I need to do to get myself in that position. And I think it's a decision that you make. You know, I've done a lot of work with people in recovery of all kinds. I'm a workaholic. So it's always about I have to make the decision that I am going to stand in a balanced position, that I'm going to live my life that way. So what actions would that be? So I have to think about what would a person who isn't a work addict, what would they do? How would their facial expressions be? How would they act? And so making that decision, and then what would those actions be? What would they look like? What kind of posturing would they do? And then start doing that till it becomes who you are. So now we talked before about faking it till you make it. I don't believe that. I think it's just about visualization in a physical form.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've got a caller. Caller, your last for our 9898. How you doing? Caller, are you there? 9898. Okay, I don't want you to talk. Okay, so I just really want to encourage people to go back and
see, we have breathers holding. For
a lot of breathers going on.
Breathers holding for us. I think that's really important.
Yeah, exactly. So our chapter 8 is going into pose our way to presence, and this next one's going to be about the body shapes the mind. And so starfish up. So, you know, because starfish is the same thing with, you know, we're talking about jazz hands and putting those out there and getting yourself in a starfish position. That could be something that's going to be really fun to be able to start looking into. She's got a quote from Maya Angelou that says, stand up straight and realize who you are, that you tower over your circumstances. Boy, isn't that a great quote. So, again, just all these different positions, all these different mindsets, all these different ways that we can empower ourselves. And this love that we're coming from, this just the constant into the now, calling us back into our just being present with ourselves in the situations and just these wonderful opportunities that can be in front of us. I had a friend of mine, and we were talking the other day about that, about, you know, how many times have we just been going through our lives, just different, everything happening through the day, when we just have these, we could have these wonderful miracles and opportunities that are right in front of us, and for whatever reason, we're just not that present to be able to embrace it and have it be something that can really come into our life and change us. So I just think that that's something to be just mindful about and, you know, and really looking from just a new perspective on that. So your thoughts on that, Aime?
What's coming to me is with this, everything that we've been working on with Big Magic and now with Presence is looking at the areas, where do I want to grow, where do I want to expand? And a friend of mine, her name is Shasta Nielsen, and she did the book Friendships Don't Just Happen. And today, as a matter of fact, her second book, Friendtimacy, just came out. How to Deepen Friendships for Lifelong Health and Happiness, and was talking with her, and looks like she'll be part of our book club if we would like her to be. So very excited about that. Her book tour started today. So I think that's part of being present. What's important to me
and what do I want to grow? And for me, it is very much, I like the idea of friendsmacy and how that has that helped me to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. So we look forward to you guys joining us. And as always, I want to thank Miss Gloria and Amy for joining me tonight. And we're going to pose our way to the present. Be checking that out next week with everybody. So go on out there and practice your joy breath and just being present with yourself and others. And just have a wonderful week. We thank you for joining us here at the Transformation Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.